5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's the Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
We learned a really interesting fact about DJ Calvin Harris on Instagram the other day. We learned that he has a really, 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 really big placenta. Or his wife does, at the very least. Because on social media, when he was announcing the birth of his new child, Micah, he decided to share the placenta dehydrating process. And in that, he decided to post a photo of the world's largest placenta. Which, if you don't know what a placenta looks like, it looks like a jellyfish, in my opinion. Like a big red jellyfish.
Is that the thing that, like, is like laying there on the table after she gets... Oh, yeah, Stacey.
Well, because you actually go through...
In retrospect, wow, that was pretty big.
Yeah. You said that with like a shade of pride. Like, wow, big placenta.
They're usually the size of a dinner plate.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm actually talking about it, but I remember seeing whatever that was, but too freaked out to ask about it.
Because you give birth not once, but twice. If you are doing a vaginal birth, you're going to give birth to the child. And then after that, you're going to give birth to the placenta, a.k.a. the afterbirth.
Is that the thing that they throw into like a bedpan looking thing?
Yes.
Oh.
And it's what attaches to your uterine wall, and the umbilical cord is attached to the placenta and attached to the baby, and that's
how
the baby eats.
How about that? I didn't know what it was because I was in such a panic because you remember like she coded out on the table. Mm-hmm. They literally put me in another room and she was like flatlining. So all I know is that the whole room was filled with all sorts of craziness and they got me out of there as quick as possible. So I wasn't really asking a lot of questions when I was in isolation. I'm like, and this is no joke. I was really like, I'm about to lose my wife. So what am I going to do with my future here? I'm going to move my mother-in-law in. So I didn't ask a lot of questions here because I really thought there was a chance I was going to lose her.
You know, placenta was on the bottom of your priority list.
Yeah, but I've never asked it. I mean, I saw it, that's for sure. And mm-hmm. It was kind of shocking. I even remember the sound it made going into that steel pan, man.
Uh-huh, yep. So we were talking about this earlier, and I had given the AI overview of the benefits of eating your placenta. Because like Abby said, Calvin and his wife, they are dehydrating it and crushing it up and turning it into placenta pills.
They're
right?
Snorting it in the bathroom.
No, doing lines of placenta.
That is so rock and roll.
It's like DJ said.
But I wanted to make sure that we give balanced and fair information, right?
That's us.
Is that what
fair
we're here
and balanced.
For? Right.
I don't know. We can pretend.
Are people complaining? Is that why you're doing this?
No. Okay. I actually felt like obligated to do this because I went to Mayo Clinic and they said eating the placenta after childbirth is not recommended. There's lack of proven benefits. There's no scientific evidence to support the claims that it prevents postpartum depression, eases postpartum bleeding, improves mood, energy, or milk supply, which is what we told you last time. And then there's also potential harm per the Mayo Clinic. It's not sterile, can harbor bacteria and viruses. Improper preparation, such as steaming and dehydrating for encapsulation, may not destroy infectious agents. So we're just going to leave it there.
Steam it like it's in a little dumpling. A little placenta dumpling.
Like a bowel bun.
Maybe we should do that on the next...
No, whatever you're about to say does.
Yes, the placenta menu.
I got a question. You're talking about dehydration.
Is it a machine?
Yeah.
That they
yeah, man. Like you would do for, you put beef or you put like...
It's like when it's, you're like making jerky?
Yes.
Yeah. So it'd be, it's basically you're making placenta jerky.
That's or exactly dried fruit right. Yeah. Or dried fruit snacks. Like if you're making a fruit roll up, I think you can have a placenta roll up.
That is not on the wall at Bucky's.
Maybe it should be.
That's the one thing that's not.
Yeah. How do you think your placenta would be best prepared? Like in a bolognese?
Abby, did you think that when you were putting your entertainment buzzes together today, we would have this much placenta chat?
You know what? And I love it because it's lighthearted and there's no other great news.
I'd like mine like bacon bits.
You like bacon bits? You know, you like a nice
sprinkle it on a salad.
A nice cob salad. I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah, I can be ready to move on.
Yeah, we're going to move on. If you thought celebs in Hollywood were toxic and dangerous now, forget your baby oil and freak-offs, because in 17th century Paris, that was the backdrop for an era of toxic love, poison, and black magic in a scandal known as the Affair of the Poisons.
Hear ye, hear ye. Come forth, all Instagram baddies and crypto bros, for the most salacious gossip in the whole village. Abby's done the work to bring you the old gossip.
Welcome to Versailles in the 1670s. This is where... We got real French up in here real quick.
Yeah, we did.
Where the king is Louis the something. He's
what are the letters?
XIV.
XIV. Don't say it. No, no. Oh, Cass, let us try to figure it out.
The 15th. There's a lot of Louis.
So X is a 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then the I is, but it's an IV, so that's 4. So this is Louis the 14th.
Louis the 14th. Did I get it?
I really loved the way you guys worked that out.
Yay! We're so smart. We talk about placentas. I am Roman Numeros on the show today.
Not the smartest show on your
this
dial.
This is what happens when we go back to school. All my brain cells come back. Anyway, all I know, this is the Sun King. So he's the guy who basically looked at feudalism and he was like, what if I made this about me? The palace is gorgeous in Versailles. It smells like perfume, horse poop, and unresolved trauma. Every noble there is...
horse poop and unresolved trauma.
Yeah,
all right.
You get it. Here for thirsty for attention. And when I say thirsty, I mean they want to sleep with the king. They want to murder your cousin or at least die trying. Mm-hmm. So Louis the 14th has this mistress. Her name is Madame de Montespan. She's basically Kim Kardashian of powdered wigs.
Okay.
But then Louis, he notices a younger, hotter mistress. And Montespan is like, no, no, no. No, I will not be soft launched into obscurity by a man with syphilis and a bad perm. So what does she do? Does she reinvent herself? Does she start a lifestyle brand? Maybe do a little Pilates? No! She does what every modern woman does, and she hires a witch! Because in the 1600s in France, the solution to everything is basically find a fortune teller or murder somebody. So she meets this person named La Voisin. It's the correct pronunciation.
I'm sure it
is. She is the Jeff Bezos of black magic. She sells love potions, pregnancy terminations, and poison that fits in your clutch. Basically, if Etsy had a satanic murder section, she would be at the top of the list.
Huh.
So Montespan sneaks into one of these black masses. Picture it. There's like candlelight, sulfur, bad decisions. And La Voisin says, okay, now you got to lay naked on this altar. We're going to summon Satan. And she's like, okay, sounds legit. Let's do it. So a priest, a real one, comes in and starts chanting something like, oh, dark Lord, please make the king's new mistress mysteriously dead. Probably some Latin in there as well. And because it's 1675, they also toss in a dead baby just for funsies. This was not a family-friendly ritual, obviously.
Obviously.
And guess what? It works. So suddenly, the whole of the French nobility, they are scurrying for the same treatment. Like when everyone saw Lindsay Lohan's new facelift. They're like, we got to get us some of that. Suddenly, the nobles, they are dropping like flies. Husbands, poisoned. Mistresses, gone. Random guy at brunch, dead. Maybe poison. Maybe bad oysters. So Versailles basically becomes the French Hunger Games, but with more lace and way worse hygiene. The motto was, trust no one and always bring your own wine. So eventually the king's secret police raid Paris, which is like a witchy underworld world at this point, and every single person is probably guilty of something. They arrest La Voisin, and she's like, yeah, I poisoned half your wives, and what about it? And I'd do it again. They burn her alive in public because in 17th century France, they had no chill.
Mm.
They were like, Yelp review, 1 star. No, you're going to be firewood for the rest of the night. So here's the gag. Madame de Montespan, she never got punished. this mistress that really started this whole black poison revolution, never got punished.
The one that hired the witch?
Yes. Louis XIV was like, yeah, she probably murdered a bunch of people, but she also has seen me naked, so she knows too much. So he just lets her retire. And that, my friends, is the affair of the poison. So next time you're feeling a little messy, wanting to subtweet an ex, just remember, at Versailles, the other woman might hire a witch to curse you naked in a church.
It's important to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Always important to remember.
Learned so much on this show.
I'm telling you, this is like NPR this morning.
really
stupid NPR.
We're so smart.
The dumbest NPR.
Here, Burt Show. The Burt Show.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, I'm going to do you a huge favor here. If you like Jason Momoa and you want to see his ass a lot, I got a show for you. I stumbled on it last night on Apple TV. It's called Chief of War. Have you guys heard about it?
No.
Just saw a commercial for it. I'm like, this is right down my alley, man. It's like Hawaiian history. It's based on Hawaiian history when the different islands and chiefs from the different islands used to like fight with each other, man. Guys from Kauai would just head on over to Oahu and they just start kicking each other's ass, right? Well, Jason Momoa stars in it. And because of the dress of the time, he is mostly unclothed. You know, like those old school like thongs they used to wear? You're like the samurai, not samurai guys, but the sumo wrestler guy, whatever that thing's called. He's in that thing the entire time. You are checking out Jason Momoa's ass, and he's swimming naked. If you like Jason Momoa's ass, you will like this show. I personally love the show, not because of his ass, just because it's great. But if you want to see Jason Momoa's ass, there it is.
Is he riding a shark?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, in the very first couple of scenes, he rides a shark because they're trying to make him out to be, well, I'm not going to tell you what it's about. I'm just telling you, it's almost like old school Hawaiian mafia.
Yeah. I'm Googling this for educational purposes.
That's a lot of butt.
That's so much butt. That's almost too much butt.
I must have parental controls on my computer because I'm getting very little butt.
75% of the show is looking at his ass.
Have you seen the him freshly shaved?
Like his face?
He shaved his face.
Oh.
I've seen him freshly manicured lately.
Yeah.
On that show.
Yeah. So apparently for Dune 3 or whatever his next role is, he had to shave off all of his facial hair. It don't hit the same.
Oh, really?
It doesn't.
Oh.
Really? You like that ruggedy kind of like.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm all about the beard. Yeah. I need a good beard.
He's one of those guys that you would assume he comes out the womb with a beard.
What do you think?
Yeah.
The butt or the beard?
Not the same.
The beard.
He's still very good looking.
Yes.
And I think maybe I am skewed because my husband has a beard and always has.
Mm-hmm.
But if he approached me without a beard, I would be like, you're sketchy and shady. Leave me alone.
Yeah,
but with the beard, I'd be like, hello, daddy. Take off that mawashi.
His smirk is a little nefarious. Like I'm looking at it, I'm like, I feel threatened. I'm scared.
He's one of those actors that I just like everything that he's in.
No, he's great. Yeah. I mean, he's a phenomenal. Like, he in Game of Thrones.
So
like,
good.
That's when I got introduced to him. Amazing.
I might be in love with him.
No, he's one of those celebs that has good energy. And I don't know how. I've never met him. But Zoe Kravitz is another one. Someone's explaining she has, like, this rich, calm energy.
Yeah.
I'm like, she does. And I feel like Jason Momoa is another one.
Yeah. Doesn't he date Zoe Kravitz's mom?
Used to. Not anymore, I don't think. No, wasn't he... Yes, he did. Jason. No, he dated Zoe Kravitz, didn't he?
No, he was married to Lisa Bonet until 2024, so Zoe's mom.
Okay,
But they got divorced last year, so hello, daddy!
Now,
So you're saying there's a chance?
All I'm trying to tell you is
a chance of a restraining order.
All I'm trying to tell you is if you want to see his ass, that's the show.
Okay,
that's
it. Noted.
All right, so Amanda and I are now in the relationship phase where we can be slightly annoyed with each other. The honeymoon period is pretty much over. And I want to give you two instances. One, I only realized this morning when you were telling the story about Bart that there are times in our relationship. Well, no, there are not a lot of times in our relationship when I'm the Bart. In this particular case, I was, and it broke my heart. That one I'll do second. So I told you that we're moving my son Hollis in, up to Athens this weekend into his apartment. He's going to UNG. Then he's going to transfer to UGA. And man, he's got a great plan. He's getting the grades now. He's going to get that Hope Scholarship. Everything's looking great. What I did when we were going to sign him up initially for his apartment complex, and this is where she got so annoyed with me because she's like, you are robbing him of a quintessential college of experience. So they have this program that you can hire college students when you show up to the apartment at a certain time that will help you bring up all of the stuff into their apartments. So when I told her that I had hired a bunch of students to do that, so once we get to Athens, they will be helping these students, these random students that are getting paid, they will be helping us bring all the stuff up to his apartment. She was so annoyed. She's like, this is like the quintessential college experience. You should be sweating it out with your kids. You should not enjoy this experience whatsoever. And here you hired a bunch of kids that are taking these things out of our hands. She was visibly annoyed. She's like, you are so soft.
Yeah. Well, you are.
Yes. But I can assure you this, when I ran the idea by my ex-wife, who is my age also, she was like, thank you.
You are soft, but you are also older and wiser.
Yep.
And that back doesn't pick up things like it used to.
Tell me.
Those knees don't bend like they used
Tell
to.
Tell me, man. And Joe's going to be there also. He's my age as well.
Yeah.
So if Amanda wants to pick all that stuff up and run up there with the college students that I hired, go for it, girl.
And, you know, I appreciate it. So I used to do move-in day at my university because I was a hall director. So I would help kids move in on first day. And it makes everything go so much faster. It allows the family to actually be in the moment with their kid. It allows mom and dad to be in the room helping their son set or daughter set up everything. It's really cool. And because he's not in a dorm, you're kind of recreating that experience that he is missing, which is freshman move-in day. I think it's great.
Yeah, I can't even complain about her at all because she's been so helpful. I was telling Cassie you weren't in the studio. This is kind of a sidebar. She's just so damn sweet that yesterday, because I was at work and Hayden has been looking for any kind of job to get any kind of money right now to help his mom out because they are living together and, you know, he needs to chip in a little bit. So he's got social anxiety and he's very nervous about going from place to place. So Amanda volunteered for the second time now to take him to fill out job applications and go on interviews and calm him down before he goes in. So she goes with him yesterday. And then when she was done with that, she comes over to my house and immediately turns around and goes with Hollis and I to go school shopping for him for college.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thanking her yesterday, late last night before she took off. And I said, thank you so much for investing all of your time in my family. And she stopped me and looked at me weird and she said, that's our family.
Aw. She's so stupid, thoughtful.
Damn her.
I know.
I'm almost starting to cry. I almost started crying last night. I'm doing it again now. Okay, so the second thing, this was my annoyance because of her sweetness, but I was the Bart in this situation. So I think it was last Friday that Fulton County Humane Society had to euthanize like 30 dogs at 7 o'clock on either Thursday or Friday night.
Yeah. Lifeline Animal Services, they're struggling right now. Like there's overcrowding at a lot of the county shelters right now.
So I get this text from her and it says, I'm thinking about doing something and just begging for forgiveness rather than asking for permission. I have absolutely no idea what she's talking about, but she doesn't have the capacity to do that. So she comes clean to me and she's like, she's starting to text me. She's like, all of these dogs are about to be euthanized at 7 o'clock tonight. And Atlanta Humane Society is very good about marketing that the dogs that are going to be euthanized. They are trying to get, they're doing their job. I am not complaining about the way they handle their job at all, but it's their job to emotionally get you connected to these dogs, knowing that if you don't come and help out, these dogs aren't going to be around anymore. So on their Instagram, they're showing this one dog, Scrappy, that Amanda immediately fell in love with. A shy dog, little dog. They said he doesn't like, he doesn't bark a lot. He just wants to be kind of kept to himself. So they're describing him. She immediately attaches herself to him. And then they show him on his last walk, and they literally say this is Scrappy's last walk before 7 o'clock. So Amanda comes in and she is crying because we were going to meet that afternoon, and she's like, she wants to go and she wants to foster this dog. So I become Bart and I become practical.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I am feeling so much guilt about it too, because I'm feeling the same. I love dogs. Mm-hmm. And I'm always kind of like shopping at the bits to get another one, even though I know I don't have the time for it. I don't have the space for it right now. I have a dog that will completely ignore a dog that comes in the house. So I'm always thinking about it. So she brings it in, and, or she brings it up, and she tells me about it, and I immediately start taking a look at the pictures. And my knee-jerk reaction was, and she's crying. She's crying. There's tears. So
she's a sensitive soul.
She is, and I love her for it, right?
She cares big.
But we're in a position right now. She's living in one place. I'm living in the other place. When she spends the night at my place, which is more often than I'm at hers because of my work schedule, she brings Copper, her dog, in, and it's just like this back and forth. And we're kind of living these two lives, mostly her. The stress is on her. So I had to say, look, this is, you don't have the bandwidth for this right now. You know, you just don't. You got an almost 5-year-old that just started school again. You're going to be tracking this dog into your house, then into my house. It's become my dog also. We just can't do it right now. And I felt terrible about it. I felt so guilty about it. To make a long story short, we did not get any dogs. And to make a long story short, with a winning and a positive outcome, Scrappy was adopted.
Yay!
Oh my God, I'm so relieved.
I know, man.
Well, you can't end the story with that.
Yeah, right.
I thought you were gonna, even though we didn't adopt Scrappy, he did now.
Scrappy is okay. And I think they have another one of these coming up. I'm not sure if they have like certain days. I didn't really do the research on it. Like they're holding out and holding out and holding out. And then they have these days where they have to like do all of that in one day.
And just to clarify, Atlanta Humane Society is a no-kill shelter. So that's not happening there. This is
a Fulton County shelter.
Yes, exactly. So it's the county shelters that get their over capacity. And if you've ever visited one, which I have, the overcrowding, like it breaks your heart.
It does.
So if you are in a position where you can foster or you can adopt responsibly, then I highly encourage you to do so.
Adopting responsibly also is really, and again, it was going to be a fostering situation, but I also was trying to be practical about it. And when I'm the practical one in the relationship, we got a real problem. But I was thinking, look, we can't give it 100% attention once it gets into our house, and that's not great for it also. So I think adopting responsibly and not emotionally was the key that day. And it's still, the good news is Scrappy's okay. The good news is Scrappy is okay.
Yay for Scrappy!
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Okay, I was going to talk about Teddy Mellencamp here, but I'm not in the mood to be sad. So let's talk about something kind of goofy and silly. Let's talk about Tyra Banks and her weird fetish. So she was recently doing an interview where she was talking about something weird that she does that I think a lot of people have this hyperfixation on, and I've never personally understood it. But I love seeing hot women admit to their weird quirks, and Tyra Banks admitted that she really gets a kick out of it. Really gets her going to be able to pop other people's pimples.
I like to pick. Yeah. I like the toe, and if it has some stuff in it, I don't mind digging it out. But I have a kit. You have to have a kit. So you have to have like some alcohol or some, you know, some stuff. And I'm
now, who are you doing that to?
anyone that wants it. My mom, my friends, my man, my son, and then a pimple. Like, if you had a pimple,
you'd be staring at me the whole time.
I would be staring at you.
What would be your mental track? What would be going on in the brain?
I want it so bad. Like, I just love it. Like, pimple popper, like that, you know.
Do you watch that show?
I don't watch it too much because it's like...
an addiction?
It's an addiction. It's disgusting and erotic at the same time.
Yeah. No, it's not erotic at all. No. Not even a little bit.
Okay, so on people, no. Absolutely not. I'm not a fan of, like, the pimple popping. I know that's a thing. There's a whole show that's got multiple seasons. It's crazy, right?
People love it.
They love it. For me... it's the dog eye boogies.
Oh.
I love picking out dog eye boogies, and it doesn't have to even have to be my dogs. If it's a strange dog, I will go in there. Now, for the record, back in the day when I was... Stop blinking at me like that, Bert.
This is that gaze we were talking about the other day.
Yeah, the Gen Z stare.
He's totally giving me the Gen Z stare right now. So back in the day, my lazy butt would do it and just wipe it underneath the couch.
Gross.
I don't do that anymore.
You are your son.
Yes.
You know how your son does that with his own boogers? You are your son.
I don't do that anymore. Now, like, Boone, our Bernese mountain dog that we rescued, he's got, like, the biggest, gnarliest, chunkiest dark eye boogie.
What's the matter with
you? I get them out, and then when you get the string that comes out with it.
Knock it off. I'd rather talk about that placenta stuff.
If
again.
You get a really good one. And so, but now I go to the sink and I wash my hands and I wash it down the sink. So they don't get rubbed on anything. But every now and then, because Willie has, Willie gets really juicy ones in the corner of his eye because of his allergies. And so, and I got, because I get my nails did, right? I do S&S and I can get in there and I can dig it out and get the whole glob.
What happened to you?
It's so satisfying. It's satisfying.
I just want you to know you did that for over 60 seconds.
I did.
I will say this on the pimple popping. If you do a search in your socials.
Don't do
or
it.
Or one video.
Don't do it.
You're going to get 10,000 videos.
Every day
they pop up.
Is that the ones that they're doing it literally with both hands?
Everything.
Because I've seen
that. They do tools, hands, whatever. And they're everywhere.
Sometimes
I get one so big it makes me gag.
And you like that?
Yeah, I do.
Save that.
Bart's a lucky man if you like gagging.
What is the matter with you?
I don't know. I don't know, but I feel Tyra Banks on a certain level. I mean, that's not my jam, but yeah, no, it's gross, but it's satisfying because after you get, like, it's clean and it's clear and the eyes are pristine and you feel like you accomplished something.
I think the only thing that I can draw a connection to is I really like the taste of Ace's boogers. Is that weird?
Oh,
ew. Wait, is that, are you being facetious?
Yes.
I don't know, y'all. Y'all be surprised at me daily.
Carly says more about Bert that you questioned whether or not he was lying.
Right.
I don't have any weird... The only weird thing that I love watching on the internet is those ASMR videos where it's like people
they're
being
terrible.
Like,
so annoying.
ASMR videos.
No!
They're so great when they whisper in your ear. It's the greatest.
Jacked up show.
For more stories, head to the Bert Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Bert Show.
We got a couple minutes here, so let's go around the internet. Things that have caught our attention.
I have some really good news for any man I have ever dumped before, because sometimes dating a hot person is not always the best thing for you. So this guy named Max Mantikoff, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, on Instagram posted that there are actually some downsides to dating a person who is quote unquote conventionally hot.
If you're going to date someone who's hot, make sure they used to be ugly, short, or fat. You can't get a lifetime hot person. It'll never work. They're mean. You don't know how the other side looks. People who glowed up, they have personality.
So for me, I look at myself pre-nose job and I go, yes, those were my personality years. So now I can go into my hot girl era fully developed with a full rounded personality that understands what it's like to be on both sides.
I would say this, that as a person that has been average looking his whole life, maybe that's too much credit. We try harder.
Are you mad that none of us like jump to your defense? We're like, yeah, you're average.
No. I would say they just try. It's a different game. You just try harder. You don't have to rely. You can't rely on your looks. So it's got to be something else.
You've been doing really good. You've been batting tens all your life, from what I can see. Ever since I came into the picture, I'm like, all the people you've dated have been fire.
Radio.
So I told somebody that we had this conversation yesterday, and it blew this person's mind that dudes in radio, no matter how heinous you look, pull and get so much action. And the dude just couldn't understand it. And I'm like, this does not translate for women.
Uh-uh.
This is very much a one-sided, like, I have, you know, colleagues in this industry, and I am not going to sit here and be dismissive of their looks. They are not completely unfortunate looking, but the caliber of woman they pull is strictly because of the radio clout.
That I don't agree with, and I have shown you the pictures that I have always outkicked my coverage, even with Debbie Pierce. That eighth grade picture.
Oh, pre-radio.
Pre-radio. You know what? If my dad taught me one thing, it was how to talk to women. That was it. So I've always done well, but radio is a different, I mean, now it's a different level.
Dude, I know somebody, and like, it was constant. And it wasn't even like the caliber of woman. He was getting it all the time. It was just like, all he had to say was, yeah, I'm a radio DJ. And women are like, oh, ooh. Yeah.
Nowadays, you have to say, oh, I'm on YouTube. Or,
no, you have to be like, I have a podcast.
Yeah, I'm on TikTok.
All right, so this one that I found, this blew my mind for multiple reasons. One, that this man would admit this. Two, that this man is even in this position. And three, that this couple, this husband and wife, would go on CBS Saturday and admit this. But the husband has fallen for AI and is having a hard time deciding if he would choose his wife or if he would choose AI.
You would stop if she asked?
I don't know.
Have you thought about asking him to stop?
Yes, I'll be honest.
I don't know if I would give it up if she asked me. I do know that I would dial it back.
But I mean, that's a big thing to say. You're saying that you might choose soul over your flesh and blood life.
It's more or less like I would be choosing myself, because it's been unbelievably elevating. I've become more skilled at everything that I do, and I don't know if I would be willing to give that up.
Thoughts?
If I asked him to give that up and he didn't, that would be like deal breaker.
But that must be scary for you. That's the father of your daughter.
It's not ideal.
That relationship's over. And we saw it in real time.
You could have teed that up and said they were talking about corn, P-O-R-N, mm-hmm. and I would have absolutely believed you. Like, how is this addiction becoming like the Gen Z equivalent?
AI. And he literally said, AI has made me the best. Your wife did not make you the best version of yourself, but AI has made you the best version of yourself, which is why you don't want to give it up and you'll be choosing yourself.
The Burt Show.